It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
There's the first sign. They got it done. More quail from the bushes. That is awesome. That is awesome. Hey, you guys go get, well, just make a bunch. You go put them up and they're going to freaking have a cow. Well, that's good. Oh, and you put the green in like the bushes. Oh, see how smart you guys are? Oh, man, we got some skills around here. Let me tell you what's going on. Last night, we had the first gubernatorial debate between the Democrat, Republican, Green, and the Libertarian. Now, of course, and we've been doing this for, you know, I mean, 20 years, man. I know how this works. They go, well, the debate between Republican and Democrat went blah, blah, blah. And oh, the Libertarian was also there and the Green guy. Well, you know, they're not able to totally ignore Barry since he kicked their butt. And there was, and I tell you, the best way to put it is that he didn't even have to say anything. They imploded on their own. It was amazing. It was so painful to watch. We got in studio Barry Hess, the Libertarian candidate for governor. But I just go ahead and play this clip. Now, this is from a morning show here, the Clear Channel station. Now, the morning show host, his name is Jim Sharp. And he's probably a more closet Libertarian now. You know, they kind of, you know, that they didn't do his career none too good in the past, you know, endorsing me for Congress and that kind of stuff. I don't think they like that. But now he's back on the morning show, the big station there. He travels around between the different shows. And it's, you know, the big talk show station here in Phoenix, Arizona, with a big morning show. And this morning he had Mark Victor on. We had on yesterday about the Baseline Killer. In the second half of this, we have it up on Freedoms Phoenix, Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. You go there and you'll see them talking about, you know, what we had talked about in the more brief version yesterday. But before that, he came on. They did a segment on this debate last night, and it was so painful. Now, this is, now keep in mind, this was the Republican Jan Brewer, SB 1070. We're going to immigrate, we're going to cure. This is Clear Channel Station, okay? The morning host, and this is what they had to say about it.
Wow. Here was my here's what I tweeted last night in my Facebook status this morning, actually, is a Republican who wants higher taxes, a Dem for border security, and a Libertarian who sounds sane. What planet is this I'm on?
Bizarro world.
Because who made the most sense last night? Barry Hess, the Libertarian.
You can see the political division between the Republicans and Democrats is pretty obvious. I mean, they all promise out-of-the-box thinking, but like Janet Napolitano, all we end up with is a bigger box.
Yeah, and we ended up talking to the budget last night. And
we were talking education here, and now we're talking about whether she balanced it or not. And I would say absolutely not, because you can't say you balanced the budget by adding another $70 million to it. All you've done is preserve the state.
Yeah. He was on fire last night, by the way. If you ever thought about a third-party candidate, I don't know. This might be the time.
I just hear his voice. A guy came voted for Barry.
Well, you see. You know, it's always like that. You know, it's just that they do their best in the lamestream media, the media so last century, to always play it down. We always kick their butt every single time. And I ran against Jim Brewer 4 years ago, and I knew how bad this was going to be. And I had told Barry, I go, Barry, you have no idea how much of an empty vessel her brain box is, man. I mean, you know, it is going to get ugly. And tell us about her opening statement. What happened? You were there.
Well, I was about a foot away from Jan, and we had been talking before, and everybody was very nice. We were joking beforehand, but when she choked up on the opening, I didn't know if she was having a heart attack or what, because it was embarrassing, and I was going to nudge her, but Fortunately, she revived herself.
I tell you what happened. She was doing her opening statement, and by the luck of the draw, you got first to open, and then the last to close.
Yep.
Okay, so, I mean, that's the primo spot, you know? So the Libertarians, we always do this. We go up and we go, whenever we get to be first, we're always like, we know what they're going to say. They're going to say this. They want to talk about this. It's all about this is what's really going on. Boom, and you set the debate right off the bat. Well, of course, you're saying, all they're going to want to do is talk about SB 1070 and all this kind of why we got all these other issues, yada, yada, yada. So while she's sitting there doing her opening, her entire opening, you just blew out of the water. So she was sitting there thinking, you only say SB 1070 so much, which she already did,
yep.
You know, in her thing. And she's sitting there staring down at her notes, and she just lost. And she does this all the time. You see her on Fox News with the, you know, choreographed and edited 10, 20-second versions of her whatever. I've been on the campaign trail with her. This is standard procedure for her. This is how she has been a kept politician since forever. And she just does what she's told. She goes out there, and now this 1070 thing has given her a big, you know, she got her 20 seconds down, but you go more than that, she implodes. And they keep her away from the microphones as much as possible. Well, now you got a live debate, and she just froze.
Yep.
Several times.
But she lost her thought because all she's got is 1070. There's no other issue for her. And, of course, my objective is to strip that away, to leave her bare naked in the political forest, as it were.
Well, there was, you know, that did dominate a lot of the debate. And if it was me and I was there, I would have, like, you know, jumped in more and went and got whatever. But, you know, if you would have done it, you would have missed so much of the primo meltdown.
Oh, I got to tell you, I was so totally restrained because I was ready to jump right in there, but I thought it was better to let them splatter blood on the walls of each other and show how childish it was. It was almost an embarrassment to be part of.
I'll tell you the impact it had on me. Donna and I started like it. We had DVR'd it, you know, been recording it, and we got all our stuff done and dinner, and we're ready. And okay, you ready? I got the old phone rings, put it down. Okay, ready. Okay, here we go. And you punch it. So we're like 10 minutes, you know, behind the live broadcast, and there's no commercials or anything, so we don't get caught up. When she imploded on her opening, that's when I sent you the text message, OMGAWD, okay? Oh, my God. I was like, oh, I already knew it was coming. There was probably at least a half a dozen to a dozen times that I had to just bury my face in the couch pillow and just scream or moan. It was so embarrassing to watch. We'd pause it, and Donna and I just sit there and laugh. We had to take a break. It was like watching a bad, uncomfortable movie, you know, those teen flicks when somebody's getting ready to something, you know, you just get that uncomfortable feeling. And it was the only relief that we got was when it was your turn to talk.
Well, I appreciate that.
And we're like, oh, thank goodness. And then this morning I started doing some searches for it. And that's why I put the televised debate, the videos up on Freedom's Phoenix right now. The reason I did that is because I look at the coverage and they go, there was the battle royale between Goddard, the Democrat, and Republican, and Brewer, and oh, Barry was there with the green guy too.
Yeah.
And I'm going, did you watch the same thing I did? Well, of course, we got Clear Channel, you know, the Fox News, you know, hip lock station here, KFYI, Jim Sharp in the morning show. He couldn't have hid that, how bad this thing was for him, and that you won this thing.
Well, I appreciate that. It's I didn't win it. It was the points. It's the libertarian philosophy that wins every debate. Not me. I'm just the messenger of a very fine, sound message that's been around longer than any other political philosophy in this nation. And I am very humbled to be able to carry that message.
You know, the one thing that you did, they were talking about SB 10. Okay, you got fine. You want to talk SB 1070, and you had a plan. You're going, Your bill doesn't even address the border. If you want to do that, then why didn't you just, what was it you were talking about?
But it was about 1070 and my immigration and Terry. I was very grateful. He referred to me four or five times in there in agreement. Because SB 1070 has absolutely nothing to do with immigration, naturalization, migration, or border control. It's crazy that people have gotten this perception from the press. I mean, I'd like to see, let's start a boycott of all the press that will print anything about SB 1070. anything. That would be great as sending a signal to them. We don't want to talk about it.
How is it that we're, you know, in the years past, we have done, once it started becoming obvious, it was obvious to us a long time ago, but once it became where we could get our message out and web pages became, it wasn't until 2002 that web pages became a political tool.
Absolutely.
You know, like they were, I remember Matt Salmon running for governor, man. He had the kitchen sink. Of course, it was all the whiz bangs, never said anything, but you know, that was your first run for governor. And it was, you have your page and his. His had all these bells and whistles, but you couldn't find out anything. It was just stupid blah, blah, blah. Well, now, do we even need to talk to the press? When we come back, that's what I want to get on when we come back. Because now, it's like they're coming and Barry says, hey, what's it like being the entity that wouldn't print the story? Now you can't get it! You know, the heck with y'all! Well, let's see how we've been dealing with them this election cycle. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with Barry S.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
To me, Ernest Hancock here in the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, where we have Libertarian candidate for governor and a longtime friend of mine, Barry Hess. And I tell you, it's just so frustrating to, I know your family and mine and everybody and all of us that have known how superior you are to these other candidates, to see how the media does what they do. We all expect and know it. And fortunately, you're able to give out your website, you know, more than they didn't give out their website. I don't know why, because they're just dumb, but you give out the website. Yeah. You want to know more about it? Go to my website. So I know you're being busy today. And the thing is that, you know, when you have the media do contact us and they say, hey, well, we need to do a story. I mean, since 06, I don't talk to you guys. They go, well, how are you going to? I said, man, I don't talk to you guys. I do it live. You know, television, we do our television appearances. We do the television. They give you, you know, different stations give you 3 minutes here, 5 minutes there. We do all our television stuff. We, any submission to the papers, the questionnaires or whatever, we'll send that stuff in because, you know, this is what you can't edit it. You can't change. You can't cut it. You got it. You know, we go by whatever your rules are. We do it. We do the editorial boards. We do all the stuff that's live, all the talk radio live. Print reporters. Nah, I don't know. How's that working out for you? You've been, you know, breaking faith and talking to them?
Well, I've talked to a few of the smaller ones. Really, the Arizona Republic is the only one that has been, I think today's, it actually is an opinion piece, but it's disguised as a news piece. But the gal who wrote it, somebody named Linda over there, wrote saying that the Green and the Republican just, or the Libertarian just took away from the rest of the debate and all this. I'm going, who wants to watch a couple of school children arguing?
Oh, it was awful. And they're defending that? I mean,
apparently.
See, this is why they're destined to be done. They're just so, print media is so done. And they're losing. I tell you what's happened. Our Arizona Republic used to be a big newspaper. I mean, especially a Sunday. It's thick. It's a penny saver on Monday and Tuesdays now.
About it.
I mean, it is just, they don't even, what used to sustain them was the classified ads.
Yeah.
Well, that went to Craigslist. So they are screwed.
Well, they tried to sue to stop Craigslist, a private enterprise. The Newspapers Association came and brought suit against them, saying, hey, you're stealing all our revenue. Well, God bless them.
Yeah, you know, and your point.
Yeah.
You know, this is, so now we're looking at what role is the main newspapers at? Heck, there's only one left now.
Right.
The Mesa Tribune, the East Valley papers, they all went under. You know, one of the main ones in Tucson went down. So we're only left with like two major papers in the state here.
Yeah, and if you print garbage, that's what happens.
Well, you know, I tell you how much garbage it is. They're owned by Gannett. That's who does USA Today.
And Channel 12.
Yeah, and the NBC affiliate here. So I mean, wow. It is so bad here. And I know those of you that are around the country, we have like Portland, Salt Lake, Memphis, Austin, Texas, North Carolina. I don't know. I think Tennessee and Florida. There's just, you know, a lot of the affiliates around the country. If you look at your local newspapers and like USA Today or New York Times, it's always like at least 3 days to 3 weeks old, and it's just spin on the news that everybody already got off the internet days before anyway. It's, and then anything local, it's just so much lies. How long can this sustain itself? Well, it's not. The advertising is going away, and you have large companies like Gannett, and you know, like NBC is owned by General Electric.
I mean, so.
You know, these large companies—they're military, industrial, New World Order empire components of—and they need to have this space in order to keep you brainwashed. That's why Newsweek was bought for a dollar, and by who? A billionaire that happened to be what? The husband of a U.S. congresswoman. I mean, are you starting to get the theme here yet? I mean, come on. So that's why we have Freedom's Phoenix, uncovering the secrets, exposing the lies.
Well, one of the exciting things was finding out that ours went national. They chose the Arizona race, so it went out over C-SPAN and CNN, I think. So we'll see what kind of international response we get.
Oh, I already know. You know, Jan Brewer's freaking done, man. And, you know, and of course we have Terry Goddard, Attorney General, and he used to be mayor of Phoenix back in the late 80s, early 90s. Mm-hmm. Then he ran for governor. This is like his third time, I think.
Yep.
And then they're going, oh, Barry, you always run. You go, what? I haven't run any more than Barry has, you know. Yeah. And then you have the Green Party guy. He seemed like a nice guy.
Very nice guy.
You know, he was, he worked down at the state capitol. He was, you know, when he was young, out of school and so on, he was something down there. Now he's from Yuma or something like that?
I'm not real sure. It's the first time I met him, and I kind of felt bad for him because he is a nice guy, but he seemed so malleable that I could not tell where his philosophy was.
He was, the argument that he was making is that, look, I mean, you know, how much worse can I do than these guys, and I know how this process works. You know, I've been down at the Capitol. I know we gotta, you know, come together and whatever. But he had no real philosophy that you could predict anything, and he really didn't have that much to say. He seemed like a nice enough guy, but you know, he was stellar compared to Jan Brewer.
Yeah, amen.
I'm going, wow. So what was the conversations before and after the debate? I mean, you had to have these guys had. I heard that I was talking to Gina, your wife, this morning.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was trying to get hold of you, and she said, she goes, yeah, Jan came in with her makeup artist and the this and the that and all his entourage, and then the Democrat thing. He's a sitting attorney general, so, you know, he's got, you know, supporters too. They're all government paycheckers, but, you know, they got their guys. And then you guys go in, and they're like, Barry, they wanted to be your friend long time now, or what?
It was incredible. They actually, I'm very grateful, and I thank the people down at Channel 8, and I kind of indirectly, I have to thank the Clean Elections for the forum, but that'll be as far as that goes. But as far as the Channel 8 goes, the people were very respectful. There was no slighting, no nothing. I really feel like I got treated equally, and that's all we've ever asked. Nothing
well, you
special.
Know, the one thing that they always do when they're sitting there yelling at each other, they dominate the time back
right.
and forth. Back and forth, back and forth. I mean, you could have interjected. And just my personality, I probably would have waited for an opportunity, and I would have. But when it was your opportunity to talk, or the moderator kind of went to you, man, you just blew him out at the knees on everything, the blah, 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 blah. It was so it was a whole hour. I had to take multiple breaks. I couldn't take it. This is why I never, you know, the only reason I watch the State of the Union address is because I'm on the radio. And we'll do, you know, fun things like, you know, a word count and how many times they said this and where they lied or what are that kind of stuff. But I how can people sit there and just be lied to and continue to subject themselves to that? Who does that? Well, they don't. That's why it's always, what did they say about that? Just tell me what happened. I don't want to have to watch it. You should watch it. I mean, it's on Freedom's Phoenix. You go there. I mean, it's no different. Yeah, it's Arizona, so what? I mean, it's always Arizona's news. These are our politicians. This is who's behind SB 1070. You know, and the attorney general. You know, in opposition to SB 1070. And you union guys that are in support of him against SB 1070 and her support of SB 1070. They have no idea what. And the only thing left on that law anyway was the national ID part. And you're the only one that brought it up.
Yep. Yeah, well, they were all nodding their heads in agreement, oddly enough, off camera that you couldn't see. But it was really kind of interesting at the end. Jan seemed somewhat, she said, she looked at me and, you know, we were sitting beside each other and she said, Barry, I can't believe you didn't support me on everything. And I said, make no mistake, I'm here to replace you. And she didn't like that.
She is, you know, I've experienced this. She'll start talking, doing, I'd be nice to her. You know, she's a neighbor of a good friend of ours and so on, and they're on cordial terms. But, you know, I go, she'll start with her stuff, and I go, Jan. And it was a KET debate. She goes, starts off with her thing, and she had her son there, so I didn't want to, you know, say anything mean. And then I just go, Jan, you know who you're talking to, right?
Yeah.
You know, just save it. we can be all kinds of friendly, just not lying to me. I'm not going to stand and let you lie to me. Oh, more lies and some truth when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with the Libertarian Barry Hess. We'll find out what he would do differently. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
But, you know, what's so sad is that all of us, we sit around and we watch it, you know, on Freedom's Phoenix. We watched it later. We watched it live, you know, went down there. I mean, it's just, we're going, you know, the pain. We've gone through this for so many. It's so obvious. It's so contrived and it's so stupid. And you wonder why, you know, libertarians don't kick the living crap out of them in election totals. Because it's rigged, man. I mean, you know, that's my vote. You know, so I'm going, all right. So you're giving your spiel there. I tell you one thing that happened. It was about 2:30 in the afternoon. There was a timestamp on an email that I got from KET wanted your phone number. Because they're going, because they go to your website and it doesn't have your number, they want to contact you. Well, it went to your campaign manager or something and she wouldn't answer and whatever. And they need, God, get Barry, call her. So, what we had done in the past, we have a thing called the L Factor, the lfactor.org, and it would just list all the candidates. Well, we did a little bit of it. We didn't really push it like we did in previous elections because I just don't care. But what we did is we had all of the candidates running so they could go to one place and they'd have all of the numbers for everybody, and then we promoted it and gave them out business cards to the press and that kind of stuff to make their job easier because they're lazy. So then they call and they need to get hold of Barry. Well, I didn't get the mess till like 6 or something, so I sent it to them and they got hold of you. Why did they want to call you? What was going on?
They wanted me to cut down my entry, my opening. It was supposed to be 1 to 3, but really I think the underlying thing was, are you going to show up? Which was kind of strange to me. Of course I'm going to show up. You know, but the real thing was to tell me that, no, it wasn't a 3-minute opening. It was a 1-minute opening.
You know, and that's another thing. They always let the other guys go long and they drag it out and whatever. But, man, they got a sledgehammer for the libertarian, you know. I mean, they're there, boom, minutes up. You are lucky to be here. So what happened was, I bet you it was Jan was going, man, I can't monologue for 3 minutes, 3 whole minutes. You know, man, a minute is like 30 seconds longer than a Fox interview, man. I can't do that, you know. So this is, so they go to down to 1 minute. And go ahead and give the audience kind of your 1-minute spiel. I mean, what was the, you go 3 minutes, man, I don't care. You know, tell them, you're talking to the people of Arizona and you're saying, hey, you know, I'm here because of what?
I'm here because I care about the future of Arizona. I'm a parent. I hope to be a responsible community member. And if nobody else is going to do the job that needs to be done, then I will. And that really, I think, beats in every libertarian's chest, whoever's decided to get into the political aspects. I couldn't explain what it is. It's just something, a compulsion that comes in from inside your chest to go do something, because the frustration of people, I have to admit, I don't think much of intellectually or socially, in the sense that they really are just looking out for their own jobs. And what I'm trying to do is show how we can take government out of so many areas that we're involved in, be it our business, our family lives, certainly our health care. To get government out of the way is the very best way that we can fix our problems. The problem is the political structures that are already in place, well, they see this coming. If I get in, there's not going to be any room for a lobbyist, for instance. So there's 1,100 people are going to be saying, I'm out of work because of this. So we know we have the opposition. But they don't care. They just don't care about the good of the country. They care about their paycheck.
Well, you went on in your first minute about what the the role of government was supposed to be and what
right.
you were there to protect. I mean, I thought it was pretty simple.
Well, yeah, Arizona's a constitution, which is the job description for the governor, is very clear. There is only one purpose, and that's it. There is no add-ons, no extensions, no plug-ins, no widgets, no nothing. One purpose for government, and that is to protect the rights and property of the individual. That's it. And anybody who's got any sense can look at our government and say, look, what are they into? They're in everything.
You know, our Arizona State Constitution was the last one of mm-hmm. the continental U.S. in 1912. Our
right.
centennial's coming up. So we had, so we're the last one before Alaska and Hawaii. And we had 20, 30 years to kind of, take a look at how things went and get it right, And they did. I really am proud of Arizona's Constitution.
It's got to be the best in the nation.
And it has some problems with it. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not going to endorse it for everything. But, I mean, compared to most, if you've read the U.S. Constitution, you read the Arizona Constitution, Arizona's Constitution kicks the living crap out of it. And it has Article 2 is called the Declaration of Rights. And it goes through it. And I think the first one, I'll pull it up here, but it basically says the only purpose of government is defense of individual rights. Then it gets down to, like, number 32, and it goes, oh, yeah, by the way, go look at number one. So it's really, if I had to defend the Constitution, Arizona wins over the U.S., I can tell you that.
Absolutely.
And any time that they've really tried an expansion of government, we have institutes like the Institute for Justice and Goldwater Institute and a lot of others that would take, and us, Libertarian Party, we're constantly doing it. I am, Yeah. And
well,
we're
involved right now with the vote fraud.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You and ex-Republican Karen Johnson,
right.
senator, a state senator, she's like, oh, man, she knows for how bad this is. It's amazing that she would join with a Libertarian in this suit.
But she's endorsed me.
Oh, yeah, that's
for
right.
For my campaign. And I got
think Sheriff Mack did too, didn't he?
Richard Mack certainly
did. Yeah, see, so Barry's got some skills.
Well, that's political courage on their part. But you know what? They were thinking beyond politics. And we're after the primaries. The political parties or clubs don't matter a bit. Now we got to start looking out and voting for what's best for our families, what's best for our communities, regardless of political affiliations. Whereas the Republican Democrat Party, they simply can't get over the idea that there's a bigger game than them. And they're the same team. It's
See,
just
my
a scrimmage.
Thing, that's not even how I mean, of course you're having a big impact. I mean, last night was a perfect example of it. But it's, I don't really get all worked up about the vote totals because for a long time, different races, different people for different reasons, being selected over others, regardless of, it had nothing to do with money or endorsements. It was always about support of the state, mm-hmm. and it was support of certain things. And you could see a trend where I'm going, I trust the American people and certainly people in Arizona way more than whatever this vote total thing's coming out. I'm going, I don't trust it. So I started looking into it and going, oh. I get it. I'm not voting in no. Heck no. So this is, as much as, Barry is running to win, and he's doing a really good campaign, and he has a professional staff, and everything's really getting on it, and signs everywhere and so on, it's going to have a big end. Probably it's going to be a record vote for Libertarian percentage if you don't win. But, I mean, still, I don't trust it.
Neither do I.
Don't trust it. So, which is why you're in the lawsuit. But the... because they preempted what they were going to do. We knew in the primary they were going to do, for years we've known how they corrupt the election process. So we filed a suit, put an injunction on certain things, saying, look, you have to obey the law here, 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 and then they didn't do it anyway.
Right.
You know, and we're going, see, we knew you wouldn't do it, you know. So it's just so it's pretend. And they don't care because they have the judges that say, yeah, and you know, what are you gonna do about it? Go to the attorney general that's running for governor. That was part of the fraud in the
exactly.
You know, before. I mean, and Jam, which was Secretary of State. It's so disgusting. So where is the benefit?
Well,
I mean, not with the election problem, but you being there last night was a ray of sunshine and hope that permeated even talk radio on the right side of the dial, man. They were like, Barry won that one.
that's really flattering, but it's the point. So libertarianism is the philosophy of America. It's what founded the country and what wrote the Declaration of Independence. And I have to have confidence and faith in those guys in their tight little knickers. They knew exactly what they were talking about. They had studied 5,000 years of human history to come up with this document and then said, be very careful of what we gave you because it is it's tenuous at best. You better hang on to it, as Ben Franklin, Fred.
I think Constitution, we just had the last hour, yeah. Bill Buport going on about how they screwed us out of the Articles of Confederation to bring around this central plan for taking our money. So, you know, it's just, but, you know, the promise was always what? That we're going to have this Bill of Rights thing that's going to bind down the right. Constitution. All these things you can't do. And then who are we going to say that it's okay whether they do it or not, that's constitutional? Let me think. The federal judge. Oh, okay. We'll see how that works out. So we already know. So we have an enormous impact on this process by people like you being up there. And you're kind of the standard bearer for a lot of, we have the U.S. Senate against mm-hmm. McCain is
David Nolan,
the founder of the Libertarian Party.
Yeah.
So he's at Tucson. He's giving it what for her. That's going to be coming to high profile. We have, I think, every congressional race filled.
We have a lot of them. But you know, we have Michael Schoen. I think that's going to be a race.
Yeah,
no,
we're already having fun with that one. And this is just people that want to express the way it can be, certainly the way it should be, but it can. How will the people react? Will they even go to the polls, or are they already jaded? I don't know. That's kind of what happened in the primary. We'll talk about it more when we come back with Barry Hess here on Declare Your Independence.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Put there by libertarian philosophy. You know, there is a lot of people in the media that, you know, Barry and I have known in the news and even entertainment media and such, and radio, television, print, and they know we're right.
Yep.
And they know that we know they know. And what happens is they are in this paradigm thinking that their livelihood or their radio station or their television station or their print media, if they were to tell the truth, it'd go away. I was at a party with the cartoonist for the Arizona Republic. He's very famous, Steve Benson. He's very talented. He's kind of, you know, but he's talented. And we get along fine and everything, but we're always going at it, you know. And I was talking to him at a party one time, and he was going, oh, well, we this and we're that, and we're going to, you know, the Republic is, you know. And I go, why would anybody support a newspaper that if they listened to what you said, they lost at least 50 to 75% of everything they own? Why would they support you? What are you possibly thinking? And that took him aback. I think of all the discussion that we've had, he kind of stepped back because I knew that big layoffs were coming, and they did. Within a week or two of that, they had another round of layoffs. And they all are seeing this. Before, it was all propped up by the developers and the builders and the car dealers and the people that controlled the Republican Party and the contractors and the builders and the yada, 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 yada. Well, all that's going away. So now it's all how much they can tax you more so that they can still keep funding their buddies. It's the same thing that we talked with Karen Kwiatkowski about the military-industrial complex. They're freaking out. You know what they said? This is what Admiral Mullen says. He's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and this is what he says. He goes, our national debt is a national security threat. And you go, okay, well, that sounds like, yeah, it probably is, but this was his point. Because we won't be able to give enough money to me in the military. You know, and I'm going, oh, man, you guys are killing me. So this is, if you are governor of the state of Arizona, and that reminds me, I got to invite the other guys. I mean, you know, I have you on. I got to, you know, I want to get the green guy on. He seems like a nice guy.
Larry we'll get him Gist.
On. And then Larry Gist. So we'll get him on. And then, of course, I got to invite Terry and Jan. And you know that's not going to happen. But I got to invite them. You know, and we'll see. You know, Jan and I have always been friendly, but... Oh, man, that's painful. She'll know I'd be nice to her, but I don't have to do anything. She's just an imploder on her own. And Terry's just blah, 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 you know. So we'll go ahead and get these guys on. But let's say you're governor. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's some of the first things that you could do?
I think one of the first things I'd like to do is let's start setting the record straight and setting our administration straight, which would mean we're going to pare down every agency, department, or division of the government that has no constitutional basis. I think that would be smart all by itself, but that would more than balance our budget as well. One of the first things I would like to do is to have real constitutional carry, the right to self-defense of the individual. I think the first thing we've got to do is get rid of all the extraneous stuff they put on this so-called constitutional carry.
I know. I hate when they call it that, because the way it is now is that whenever an officer is in your presence, comes up to you, you have to let them know you're armed and hand it to them or give it to them.
Right, you have to surrender.
Yeah, you can carry your gun all concealed all you want, except when the cop's around, you know. And I'm just going, you know, so we had these ideas. We'd go into a donut shop, and we just all, one at a time, just a big line of people going in, hey, you know, we're armed. Hey, we're armed. Hey, we're armed. I mean, you know, laying it on the counter or something. I mean, you know, we just, because we've done that before at the libraries, remember?
Yeah,
oh, I remember. Barry was running for governor back then. This was... God, which year was this?
02.
And in front of the library, because they wouldn't check guns according to the law, and they hadn't made a big, and finally we got that done, taken care of. But one of the things he did, along with Jim Sharp, it was
That's
a guy from KFYI. I think he was at KTR at the time. He went too, and we're all carrying firearms, and Barry gets a posed picture with a 50 caliber. Hey, man, I kick all your butt. And we do this just, you know, not only to make a point, but to have fun.
Absolutely.
If you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong. So we set that kind of standard. Now you can't look at a freaking Republican website that doesn't have them having a foul 308 or something, you know?
Yep.
It's because that's the way Arizona is. We made it that way.
Well, yeah, and you're talking, I think it's very important to let people know that what happened with this constitutional carry bill that they said was it basically just it invented a new crime. The crime of not telling the cops that you're armed, and that's ridiculous. But the more dangerous part is what happens. They don't tell you police procedure, local police procedure takes over when they retain your firearm. They are, by policy, required to run it against the NICS database. Or the APHIS database. And if you're not in there, they'll be very nice, and they'll give you what's called a contact card. Well, that contact card makes you part of a national gun owners list, for crying out loud. No, won't have it. So I want to eliminate that. I want reasonable people to be able to defend themselves, and here's why. Because the next thing we're going to do is we're going after the big kahuna. I want to eliminate the income tax, and that does mean a repudiation of the federal income tax as well as the state. We cannot authorize or condone the state to continue to steal from people. Theft is still theft, even by government, even if they have a gun, and even if they say it's for the children. But right after that, I think that'll get enough attention, along with my billboards. This would be my dream as governor. I'd be so happy. It doesn't even have to have my name on it. Just as every road that comes into Arizona, a big billboard saying, the governor welcomes you. Welcome to Arizona. Enjoy your visit where the people are free, friendly, smart, and armed. Please be on your best behavior to enjoy your visit. Thank you. Wouldn't that be a great, great sign to have?
And you know what? I think you'd be copied by a bunch of other states.
I mean, just
I wish they could.
You come here and be reasonable, and we're good people. This is just all we want to do is be left alone by government. And I don't know if we'll ever be able to get government back into fit into a shoebox, but that would be what I'm aiming for, to make it as small as possible, get out of people's way so we can have appropriate charities that will take care of other people. We don't have to worry about the government telling us how much we can give to charity. But more importantly, we'll pare the costs of government down to its budget, and I'm thinking that literally 60% of it could go away without anybody noticing. That's just the graft theft and the corruption and the useless bureaucracy that people in the public don't see.
You know, one of the other things that's always a sore point here was the personal property tax. Mm-hmm. And a property tax, how it's really manifested here is in your registration of your car. That's always a big one. You go and you do your car, your registration fee is based on the value of the car. So
crazy?
As it gets older, you know, it's $30 for an old jalopy. You get a nice new car, man, you're paying a couple hundred dollars a month. I mean,
right.
You know, it's ridiculous how much this is as a percentage. So people have always been, get rid of this personal prop. What a ripoff that is. You know, and of course it, you know, affects a lot of things. So that's one. Then you have, real property tax. I mean, you're always leasing your house from the government, you
always.
Know, even if you own it. So, I mean, what do you think about those two?
Well, I think in registration, a good point, we've already talked about this, the only two reasons why government should know who owns property, and that would be if you left your automobile beside the road, it was unattended or abandoned, or if you were dead or hurt in it in an accident, so that they'd know who owned it. So it's a good idea to have it registered, but there's a simple cost. $10, you know, whatever it takes to have somebody write it down so that they can locate you just in case there's an emergency on the road. That's as far as they go. I would eliminate or work very hard to eliminate any extraneous costs associated with automobiles whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. I mean, you know, this license plate thing and everything, I mean, you could probably make a lot of arguments for it. But, you know, my thing is that the only... I guess one of the roles of government, certainly like you have the Maricopa County Recorder's Office. That's what they're there for.
Right.
I own this property, and I know this, and everybody else knows it because it's registered there. You know, it says that mine. You know, so you got to do the same thing with a car or any other property you want to happen to put your name, you know, stranger danger ID, stop thief engraving, whatever, on whatever you want. And you say, this is mine, this is mine, this is right. mine, and this is mine. And, you know, other than that, because what you're looking for the government to do is defend your property rights.
Exactly.
They're
going
to go to court and say, hey, man, you can't steal that. That's his. Yeah, how do you know? We got registered over here. But then they use that and they want to charge you, not just charge you for the service, not just, you know, make it easier for ownership. They want to use that as a way to milk you. Then every time. So then you're looking at, well, am I better off just not registering with, not even having that service and doing it with Allstate? Let them do it, you know? So this is, you're always looking for a private alternative because they always bastardize whatever promise, and then the reality becomes something, this monster that they create.
Unintended consequences.
Go ahead and go about real property, real estate.
Well, on real property, you simply can't own property that can be taxed out from under you. It's an anathema to our Constitution and every single thing America was ever said to be.
Okay, in the last minute here, I forgot. I should have gave you more time on this. You said something in the debate about your tax scheme that you would have for corporations, 4%. What were you talking about?
A corporate fee for use of the corporate veil. It's not really even a tax. It's an artificial limitation on the tort liabilities of the owners. And it shouldn't even exist under our Constitution. But it does. And if we're going to have a corporate fee, I just wanted to limit it to 4% on the gross. That's all government needs to know is how much money you brought in. We want 4%. See you later. And get the stranglehold off of small business so that we can start new jobs and opportunities.
You know, you're bringing in this corporate thing, you know, because they want to claim individual rights as a corporation and stuff. You want to do that? Fine. There's a fee for that.
Exactly.
You know, so, you know, these are things that make sense, and I don't know how they can avoid this and then support one of the two bickering heads up there. It's just about, well, we'll invite him. We'll have him come on. We'll get the green guy on. You know, just be fair and grins and giggles. You know, he seemed like a nice guy. So we'll go ahead and keep you guys informed because I know the exact same thing is going on where you're living right now.